Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chan was really the first guy that truly believed in me, gave me my shot as a starter. And I just have always wanted to prove him right and to play well for him. He's the guy that allows players to play to their strengths. He's got an offense that is not very complicated to learn, but very complicated for defenses and the way it's presented to them. And he does a great job of utilizing different guys' talents and putting them in a position to succeed, and not necessarily telling them there's a certain way to do it, but allowing them some freedom and creativity within certain constraints to do the best job that they can. I think guys have always enjoyed playing for him for that reason, and I've got a ton of confidence and trust in him. I know he has feels the same way about me.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick going, I got my guy, Chan Gailey. You guys, hey, I've been with him. Know what to expect. You guys are going to love it once you learn the system, see what we're talking about through these meetings and stuff. Ryan Fitzpatrick talking to the media yesterday on Zoom, who were asking a lot of questions, as we still haven't heard from Chan Gailey, who I used to play a little racquetball with last time he was here. He was a big racquetball player when the racquetball courts were. Anybody play racquetball anymore, or is that sports?
I was just about to ask.
Right. All the courts are gone. I don't think there's. Right. I don't go to any of those clubs. Are there any racquetball? You guys?
There are plenty. I was actually playing some very competitive racquetball before the pandemic.
Really?
Where? At?
Where?
In one of the buildings my friend lives in. He has a court.
Oh, three wall or four wall? You talking outdoor or indoor? You're talking.
There's a glass wall in the back, if that's what you're referring to. I don't know the court terminology, but.
Three wall's okay. It's just a lot more difficult because the ball gets by you. Guy hits a winner, you got to go chase it, get it, and bring it back.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Right. No, but being
you
able
can also
to
use the back
ceiling.
Wall. Like, you can hit the ball off the back wall into the front wall.
Right.
The three wall thing sounds terrible.
So I gotta tell you, California was racquetball was really big, and I got back here. And on days it would rain or stuff, we had a coach in college that thought playing racquetball was great for everybody, for movement and all that stuff. And so we played it a lot out there. They had tons of racquetball and handball courts at Berkeley, but not back here. Not a lot of guys played back here. But it was always a fun game. Always.
My dad used to play all the time. I loved going to the racquetball courts.
Great sweat, man. Right. Great sweat in there, and get guys according to where you come from that played it and everything else. Hey, so we got Mike Florio going to join us coming up here. We'll ask old Mike what he thinks about old 4th and 15. Does he think? What do you think he's going to say? I think he's going to say it's not going to pass.
Right, I think so too. I think he says it does. There's no way 24 owners say yes to it.
Well, because most of them aren't going to be owners. Jerry Jones will make a vote on his team, but most of those owners are going to vote on behalf of their head coach and GM. You guys agree with that, right?
Right, of course. Yes.
Like even Robert Kraft, who some say is the second most powerful owner or third most powerful owner in football, he ain't doing anything without Belichick. If Belichick tells him, that's garbage. We're not doing that. Especially his defense. I can tell you how he's voting. No.
but we'll probably never find out. So we'll talk to him about that. The Sky Judge, the eighth game official, they want that. All the coaches are screaming, help our guys out, especially if we're going to lose this replay review. We could use some help still and big calls and be able to go up, have a Sky Judge at every game potentially, or an eighth game official sitting up there that could help you. Make sure you get the blatant calls and all that stuff. I don't know. Listen, the game's never going to be perfect because there's penalties on every play. You want to call holding? You want to call? I don't want to see holding every play by offense or defense. And I definitely don't want to see pass interference calls. I mean, you talk about destroying a friggin' game. So we'll talk to Mike Florio about all that stuff coming up. 56022, by the way. Zach, what do we got coming in here, especially on our documentaries and our commissioners?
Well, a couple just on racquetball real quick. There's racquetball at LA Fitness. Do you guys remember sport rooms in Miami? There was a sport room in Plantation, too, I believe, back in the day. That's, I think, where my dad played.
So Tim Foley, who I played with for 1 year, Tim Foley owned sport rooms or court rooms? I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But it was a great place to go because you catch a sweat. And the women were doing, I can't remember what was in back then in those little outfits.
It's like Jazzercise or something.
But right? Yeah, something. They had a little happy hour.
Yeah.
And there was an amazing amount. I don't know if it was the one in Miami Lakes or somewhere. There was amazing amount of women that were going to this one location after their workout. They weren't going home to daddy right away or to husband. And so go up and have a few drinks after a good sweat, take a little shower. But it was a nice little place to meet people, if you know what I mean.
Here comes Joe with the gap tooth walking up right there.
That gap really turned him on, man. Said, are you here to talk to me or kick a field goal with that bad boy?
How about this text? Jeff Conine is a national champion racquetball player. LA Fitness is all the places they have racquetball also. So another LA Fitness one. But Jeff Conine.
So Jeff Conine is a great racquetball player, and his wife is a great racquetball player, but
really
UCLA guy. Yeah, no, man. California. Wow. First of all, in California, racquetball was big, but no, I hit with Jeff Conine, and Jeff Conine is like, all right, I'm gonna put this away. He could kill every shot, so you didn't even have to play. He could hit the ball by you with just like he was amazing. Yeah, he's really good, and they say his wife is like one of the best. Wow. So yeah, the Conine family, who's got a son now playing professional baseball. They were pretty good. Now I got Conine. He got that tennis bug. And he kicks my ass in tennis. He called me, hey, you want to play? I go, I don't know, Jeff. Jeez, you're pretty good. Even with a new hip, you're damn good, man. So I don't know.
Yeah. How about this? Hey, Joe, I'm watching episode 8 of the Jordan documentary, and I just saw Dave Wannstedt in the background of the crowd of one of the Bulls playoff games. Very random.
Really?
He was the Bears coach, I'm assuming, at the time, right? You know, he's going to be at one of those big playoff games.
Yeah, Dave likes all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I did notice him in there.
You did too? I didn't see him.
Yeah, he's in like the background, but he kind of stands out.
Huh. Interesting.
Didn't see it.
All right. Tim Foley, Sport Rooms in Hialeah. He was my boss for a time. Right.
Yeah.
Sport Rooms should have been called the Putango Bango Room, someone called. In Texas.
Yeah, they used to have, I don't know how they made money. They had a ton of racquetball courts.
You had to be a member, I'm assuming, right?
One in Fort Lauderdale had a full court basketball. So you were like, all right, we playing basketball today? Or are you going to play racquetball? I'll play a little bit of both. And then they had weights, which we didn't have that many weights in at Dolphin training camp. So you just stayed there and worked out. And then that little bar upstairs, jeez. That was awesome. A couple beers.
Right. More people texting in about Ricky Williams in the documentary, but there was one on him. There was a 30 for 30 in like the first season, I think, of like the 30 for 30s.
I like know how Ricky's doing in his marijuana.
Right. Maybe an updated adventure. One on that. Yeah, an update.
Love to
That's
hear.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
I think he went on with Seth and OJ on their podcast.
He did. He was he was on their podcast.
That's a good
the other
that's
day.
A good right. That's a good get for those guys.
Yep.
Yeah, Ricky, listen, man, Ricky. We always talk about guys that fly a little differently, have a little different, Oh, that's Ricky.
Ricky. He's a little different bird. I was just waiting to set up the bird. A little different bird.
Another person texting in Goodell, Silver, Bettman, and Manfred in that order. That's kind of where we are. First off, it's really who you want one and two. I think Bettman and Manfred have, you know, solidified their third and fourth in this owner draft that we're having.
I don't think the hockey guys are crazy about Gary Bettman, right?
Yeah, they're not.
Till he gets him a TV contract and gets some. It's amazing that hockey has not been able to get a TV contract, except for that deal they have with NBC.
Right.
To put their games on towards the end of the playoffs. Crazy.
Well, you're getting a lot of texts in about that bar in the sport rooms, how great it was. A lot of people texting in about
really?
It. Really? Yeah.
God,
so
man.
You're not lying about that. Sport rooms had hot moms. Like, these are the texts coming in right now.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm not proud of myself. I'm not. Some of those old wives up there working out, not real excited about going home to husbands. That was... Keep going. What else you got?
Let's see what else we have here. More Joe Rose documentaries. That's not happening. Didn't Cameron get fired from Baltimore and then they ended up winning the Super Bowl that same year?
That's correct. Is that the year? It was.
That's right. He got fired.
He wasn't at LSU very long. They hired him and they're like, this ain't working here either.
Right. Yeah, Cam Cameron was supposed to be an offensive genius like McVay before McVay was there. Right, he was. Cam Cameron got hired because of that San Diego offense.
I would love to have been there when Joey Porter, when they had players and head coach, the coaches, the players, and the GM sitting there. And he stood up and went off on Cam Cameron about how bad he was as a coach. Like, Joey Porter stood up the fact. Trent Green tells that story.
Right.
Trent Green goes, oh, my God. Like,
you know who else tells that story great? Channing.
Well, listen, I think our quarterback from BYU was there at the time, too.
And right.
And I think the quarterbacks looked at each other and said, don't worry, this is not normal, I swear. This may be the last time you ever see this after you get out of that year. But it could have been the year of dysfunction. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Oh, here's a good one. They're going to have to make a documentary of when the world of sports stopped due to COVID-19. Of course they're going to. That'll be a 30 for 30 or something.
Well, listen, man, we've never been through anything like this.
Right.
We've seen everybody respond differently to it. Some turned it political. Some, you know, are scared to death. So it's been across. You know what? And, guys, I don't get mad at anybody either way. Like, I understand. I get whatever side, if you got to bring politics, I get it, man. Like, you can't shut things down forever. And at the same time, I got guys, and I hate to bring Ira up. Ira's probably in his bedroom right now writing a column, like writing an article. Like guys, people are like, oh, not me, man. I'm scared. Not me. So, whatever side you're on, you have that, not to call Ira out, but not to – it's all right. I get it.
Someone said, before we get to break here and go to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, said your documentary could be called The Ultimate Fraud.
Yeah, it would be up there. No, I've been one of the great phonies in this town for a long time. Very fraudulent human being. There's no question about that. Hey, you ready to go to break?
Yeah.
The big phony is ready to go to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk next.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan from ProFootballTalk.com. Our Friday guest, Mike Florio, going to join us here. Mike, good morning. How are you, sir?
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
We're doing good. All right, Mike, here we go again. Your thought on the owners passing this vote on May 28th for the onside kick alternative of 4th and 15, you think it passes or not?
Well, you know, there's growing support for it, which is good. I like it. I think they should just get rid of the kickoff altogether and use a 4th and 15 play. You can punt You can go for it. You can run a fake punt. You could send out your regular offense and do the Ben Roethlisberger, Randall Cunningham pooch punt. There's all sorts of different things you can do. If they want to make the kickoff play as safe as possible, just get rid of it. Now they have concerns about the punt play. Anytime guys are running at full speed, maximum force, and colliding with each other in opposite directions, that's a problem. But I like the 4th and 15 alternative to the onside kick, because the onside kick is much harder to recover given the current procedures for lining guys up and not letting guys have a running start. It's just harder and harder to recover an onside kick. So I like this as the alternative. And I hope they give it a try. It may be something that they do for a one-year basis. You know, we've seen that plenty of times where a rule gets passed for 1 year and then it requires 24 votes to continue it for the second year. Once you have a rule that's in for good, it takes 24 votes to get rid of it, which is not the easiest thing to do. So I'd like to see them do it on a one-year basis and we could see how it works.
There's a lot of defensive coordinators that don't like you. You're going to mess up those two-score prevent defenses that loosen up and try to burn the time and all that. Now they got to go right back on the field, and all of a sudden we dominated all but 2 minutes and we end up losing by giving up two scores in the last 2 minutes. You're going to have a lot of people bitching, Mike.
Well, and, you know, beyond that, because there's always that chance with the onside kick that you're going to have to go back on the field, but you go back on the field for the kickoff play. Your defense is gassed. It just went down the field or had the offense go down the field on it. Now it's got to go out there and defend this 4th and 15 play. But you know what? Stop them there and get off the field and win the game. Don't trust the special teams to save it for you. Go out there and do it yourself and stop that 4th and 15 play. Look, they need something like this for a very important reason. Roger Goodell was asked several years ago who he roots for, and he says he roots for whoever's trailing. They want teams to have a chance to come back. You don't want people checking out of games in the third quarter or early in the fourth quarter when they do the math and they realize there's no way in hell this team is going to get back into it. So the opportunity to keep possession, I think, is very real. You can still do the traditional onside kick, but the way this rule would work is twice per game you could do the 4th and 15 play. And the other twist to it that's fascinating, and this is something that Michael David Smith spotted and wrote about it yesterday at PFT, you could have a team go ahead late by 3 or 4 points, and there's a few seconds left in the game. Instead of kicking off and risking that the opposing team is going to put together a Stanford band type of a play, you just do 4th and 15, and you run around and run out of bounds and kill the clock, and that's that.
Interesting. Wow, that's, I didn't even think about it like that yet.
Wow.
Yeah, another thing I saw on the website that I knew obviously was going to come sooner rather than later, the contract negotiations starting this summer with Pat Mahomes. Is that because they can't secure an 18-wheeler with $100 bills yet and they're still waiting to get that? Because I'm assuming this is going to be the biggest contract this league has ever seen.
Yeah, it's going to be the biggest contract the league has ever seen. And if I were Patrick Mahomes, I would press for a set percentage of the salary cap. Now, the problem is next year, the cap could go down, although I'll believe it when I see it, because the league and its teams have an incentive to keep the cap high. The union has an incentive to keep the cap high. But one of the problems with these, and obviously the revenues could go down if there aren't fans games this year, but you know, one of the problems with quarterback contracts is you sign the deal, and within 2 or 3 years, you've been leapfrogged by lesser players. If and when someone gets a specific percentage of the salary cap as their compensation, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18%, you're protected against the dynamic that we see time and again, where a guy becomes the highest paid quarterback in football, and then the next man up becomes the next highest paid quarterback in football. Either way, I think Patrick Mahomes should be setting a bar that is not going to be matched or exceeded anytime soon. But if the cap keeps going up, it's inevitable that someone is going to end up with more money than he has, whether it's Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, whoever the next guy is that ends up back at the trough trying to get that big contract.
Hey, Mike, just getting back on the other issue, the sky judge. Sounds like these coaches still like, hey, let's help those guys on the field. What do you think about the eighth game official?
I love it. It's something we've been pushing for a long time, bridging the gap between what the 7 officials on the field see with the naked eye in real time where they're trying not to get trampled by the gladiators and what the rest of us see at home. We see it in super HD from every possible angle. So yep. Put someone who knows the rules And ideally it would be a retired referee like an Ed Hockley, somebody who maybe doesn't have the physical ability to run up and down the field, but still knows the rules, has seen a lot of different things, and can chime in and say, hey, look, you guys missed this, let's fix it. I like that as a supplement to the traditional replay system. You do it quickly, you do it efficiently, and again, it's people who know the rules, and it's people who see what we see and bridge that very important gap between what folks see at home and what folks see while they're out there trying to officiate. And it's important that the NFL do something. You know, it would be very tempting to just go back to pass interference rules without replay review and just say, oh, it's going to be 50 years before there's another debacle like the one we had between the Rams and the Saints. I think that's a dangerous approach, especially with more and more states legalizing gambling. I think they need to have a way to fix it. They need to have a way to account for the things that all of those eyeballs at home are seeing. So I like it. I hope it passes. I think it's going to be hard to pass it because they're all not in the same room together. You know, they're doing these things via video conference. It's just harder, I think, to get a good consensus. Hopefully they'll find a way to overcome that and get it passed.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you real quickly, too, about I saw the other day said with no butts in seats and all the parking and everything you get from a big crowd at home, your advertisement and all that stuff and the amount of money, especially the Cowboys and Patriots would lose. But the league overall was looking, well, I think I saw $5.5 billion if that's a loss. So does that adjust everybody, the contracts for the players? Will that adjust it if they go, hey, no butts in seats this year, boys? We're going to have to take less money, or what happens there? I haven't heard a lot about that.
Well, look, the contracts are set, and if they play even one game, the players are entitled to their full salary. Here's the dynamic that I think we'll see, though, and it's a good question. When you have players already who are, you know, older and they're due to make $6 or $7 million, they get squeezed to take less in August because they recognize, the team does, that we've got a fifth-round draft pick that makes a hell of a lot less, a hell of a lot younger, he's a hell of a lot healthier, and the gap in talent isn't that great. We can save a lot of money here. So you cut the player, and we've seen that before. Well, I think we'll see it more prevalent this year. Mid-level guys who are making more money, significantly more money than a lower-level rookie or, you know, first or second year guy, I could see guys get cut. And that's the way that I think teams will deal with it. There's not going to be an across the board, we're reducing the salary cap. There's going to be, we're going to reduce our budget and we're going to get rid of some of these older players. And I think that's the way the NFL is going to handle it. And the other benefit from that for the team is if you clear up $7 million cap space now and save $7 million in cash, you carry over that cap space the next year, and if the cap does go down, you've got ways you can boost it up so you don't find yourself having to get rid of key players.
Speaking of salary cap and contracts, you think Jerry Jones wants to keep Dak Prescott on the team?
Well, yes. And it's a fair question because, and Big Cat and I were talking about this today on PFT Live, if it were Patrick Mahomes, it's a no-brainer. You get it done. If it's Dak Prescott, why isn't it done? If it's not a no-brainer, then maybe they shouldn't be paying him $35 million a year. But here's the problem. The Cowboys have used not just the regular franchise tag, the exclusive franchise tag. They have put an offer on the table of $31.4 million for 1 year of football. That dictates their value of him on a long-term deal, and it shows that they believe in him. They're willing to pay him $31.4 million for 1 year, and if they tag him next year, it's $37.68 million. So they believe in him. They want him to be their quarterback, but they didn't want to let him get to the open market. They chose to use the franchise tag. They chose to use the highest level so nobody could say, hey, we'll try to steal it from you, and we'll give you 2 first-round picks. That's what they think of him. So if that's what they think of him as it relates to the rules of the franchise tag, then they need to pay him. It's that simple. So, you know, to answer your question, the answer is in plain sight. They use the highest possible franchise tag to keep him from even talking to another team, and they're willing to pay him $31.4 million this year if they can't do a long-term deal. And Stephen Jones, the team's COO, told me a couple of weeks ago that there's absolutely no way they'll rescind the franchise tender. Because I'll tell you what, if they really wanted to make it difficult for Dak Prescott, if he doesn't do a long-term deal by July 15, the deadline for doing a multi-year contract, rescind the franchise tender and say, hey, Dak, good luck getting anything on the open market. Right. Everybody's got their contract. Who's going to pay him $30 million, $35 million? nobody at that point.
Hey, Mike, I saw you and Sims and King talking about a little hot topic down here, and that's what's going to happen with Tua. It's going to be an open competition. Is Fitzpatrick, because of the Chan Gailey thing and the way it ended, way out in front, the injury come into play? Do they really want to sit him? What do you think plays out with Tua this year?
I think Brian Flores is going to play the best guy, and he's not going to think about, well, I need to get reps for Tua, because if I get reps for him this year, he'll be better next year. He'll reach his ceiling faster. Flores wants a win. And we saw it last year when it was Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and all logic and common sense pointed to letting Josh Rosen develop and take his lumps and reach his ceiling, whatever his ceiling is. We still don't know what Josh Rosen is going to be, but Flores got to the point where he didn't care. Fitzpatrick's the guy. And you know what? I said this when they traded for Josh Rosen last year. If Rosen can't beat out Fitzpatrick, there's the answer to the question. So, you know, Tua should be able to beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, and if he does, he's the guy. And if Brian Flores thinks that Fitzpatrick is more prepared and better suited to play, then it'll be Fitzpatrick, even if it slows down the ultimate development of Tua. And it's easy to justify that, because you can say, well, you know what, we're giving him more time to let that hip heal and to kind of learn the game by watching Ryan Fitzpatrick. But it's a pure meritocracy.
Yeah.
The fact that Tua is the fifth overall pick in the draft, I don't think is going to influence the decision.
And then the follow-up to that, Zach and I were talking, what about Josh Rosen? We hear that there's offers out there. How good offer, and how desperate is somebody going to be to trade for Josh Rosen?
Well, here's the thing. Josh Rosen has 2 years left on a wage scale rookie contract that doesn't pay very much at all. When they traded for him, and I need to go back and see the numbers now, but when they traded for him, it was $6 million total for 3 years. The Cardinals had already given him like $17 million of the $23 million contract that he signed. $6 million for 3 years, $2 million a year, that's a steal for a backup quarterback. And here's the thing you have to take into account. The moment you trade Josh Rosen, what happens if Ryan Fitzpatrick pops an Achilles? What happens if Tua has an injury? Then you only have one quarterback. So for that money, you keep Josh Rosen, because you never know when you're going to need Josh Rosen. So I think that you know, unless somebody's going to basically replace what you gave up to get him, I don't think you even entertain the possibility of trading him, especially if one of the teams that wants to trade for him is the Patriots. And I don't know that it's the Patriots, but there's plenty of speculation that one of the teams out there that's interested in him is New England.
What about the two stadiums out west? I know that on the website you're talking about the Raiders stadium, the L.A. stadium and the Vegas stadium. Are they going to be ready? Do we think they're going to be ready in time?
Well, look, we've got different definitions of what ready means if you're not going to have fans there. That's the great unknown for the NFL at this point. And, you know, it's if you don't have the bathrooms done, who cares if the fans aren't going to be there? You don't need to have the bathrooms done. So, look. Keep an eye on that dynamic. I think that every state that has an NFL team will allow, at a minimum, those teams to play in empty stadiums. I think California came around this week when Gavin Newsom, the governor of the state, said that pro sports can return in June. I think somebody got to him and said, you're going to lose a lot of tax money, and you know, these teams are just going to go somewhere else and play their games. We'll find a way for them to play here. The question is, will we have a scenario where Florida allows the stadiums to be open, but California doesn't? What kind of disparity does that create if one team has a home field advantage and another team doesn't? And scientifically, the thing to keep an eye on here is any study and any development relating to what it means to be positive for the coronavirus antibody. Because there was something out of Korea this week. The idea that if you've had it, you can get it, you can have the virus in you, but it's not going to affect you, and you can't pass it to someone else. If that's what happens, then basically what the teams can say in any state is, hey, go get tested for the antibody. If you're positive, you can come to the games. And so that's, you know, several months before we get to the point where stadiums are either going to be open or not open, but that's the big wild card here. And for the L.A. and the Vegas stadium, it may not matter if they're ready for fans. But depending upon what happens from a medical research standpoint, it could be that every stadium is open.
Hey, Mike, just so you know, if anybody has a problem you hear about, the Florida governor will take everything. Anything that's got, we got a zillion places to play.
But here's the thing. If there's not going to be fans, guys, we don't even have to play the games in NFL stadiums. I was talking to a coach about this last week. You can play in high school. You know, as long as you can put the cameras there and capture the right angles, and as long as you're comfortable with the field, it may be that they have to tear up whatever field is there and put down a brand new field turf, NFL quality surface. But you could bring the entire NFL to the state of Florida and play all the games there. You know, and I'd be shocked at this point if it comes to that. And I don't think players are going to agree to it. They're not going to want to leave their families. They're not going to want to be walled off in a hotel for 4 months. And, you know, good luck getting all the guys to honor the boundaries of the Biodome. You know, they're young and they want to go out and they want to live their lives. And they will escape they'll go over the wall if they have to get out. So I think that they will find a way to play the games in the team stadiums. And who knows, we may have fans in most, if not all, of the stadiums by the time Labor Day weekend rolls around.
Well, I'll tell you what, you were strong going into Memorial Weekend. You were very strong today, man. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com.
How many times you go to Pro Football Talk a day?
I would say at minimum three.
Okay.
Just to see what's being updated.
I must go a dozen times.
At minimum, even on a slow day, three, just to see what's going up on there, because he's always got something. Whether it's Robert Kraft's ring or actually Pat, you know, Mahomes negotiations, there's always something on there that I didn't see. So yeah, I always go there.
Oh man. All right. Well, listen, 56022 if you want to join us. Zach, you got anything else before we come back and knock out these text messages?
Yep. Just want to remind everyone that you can listen to us on the radio.com app. It's up. Download the app and make 560 the Joe WQAM your favorite station.
Good,
sign up for
job,
notifications.
Hollywood.
And you'll never miss a great guest or moment. And don't forget to check out the radio.com rewind feature. Go back and listen to any show at any time that you want. Download the radio.com app now. 56022 is our text machine. At this point, we'll read some for you in the next segment right after this.
Happy Memorial Weekend to everybody out there, man. Seriously. We hope everybody's doing okay. And if you're stressed out or mad at somebody, don't be mad at us. Find somebody else. It'd be great. We'd appreciate it. And 56022 on the text machine. We've been all over the board today. What do you got for us, Zach?
Text machine's all over the board also. Here we go. First one that just came in that said that new Lockhart Stadium is ready. All ready to go. Nothing to do there right now, but all ready to go.
I think some of those guys are working out up there. I don't know how many of them, but some of them are kicking the ball around and getting in shape again.
Right.
MLS, by the way, MLS can be up and running here pretty soon, too. Don't count them out.
Yep, they're trying to get back desperately. Says your boy Tommy Brady following in Jordan's footsteps with his own documentary next year, which won't be anywhere as good. Now, I don't think it's going to be as good, but yes.
No.
A nine-parter, huh? Is that what it is?
So I can tell you this. Yeah, it's nine parts.
Jeez.
The New England Patriots are not dysfunctional. There's one guy at the top, and he runs that thing like Don Shula. He just does. I know people don't like it, Belichick and Don Shula together, but they run it the same way, right?
Right.
I don't. If you're dysfunctional, you're gone. If you're late, you don't get the Dennis Rodman treatment, you're gone.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly up there with them. When I coached my son's T-ball team, we drafted the kids not by skill, but by the hotness of their mothers. We lost a lot, but our after parties were lit. It's a great text.
Who sends that?
A sick person and someone I love. Right, exactly.
You know, it's funny. They always bring up Tim Foley's racquetball clubs that we used to use. And so he gave us all memberships, of course. And so we were over there, and it was great. It was nice, But I always remember after we were done, you get that massive sweat, great workout, and look up there, you know, around noon or 1 o'clock. And all those mothers were up having a drink, like after they had worked out and doing everything. And then the thing turned into a friggin' meat market up there. It was like, oh, this is not good.
Right.
Not good up here.
Someone said, any chance Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt are starters day one? Now, before you answer that is not the way this guy worded it. he put Robert Hunt's brother's name in there for me to try to read, and I got you, sir. You didn't get me.
Yeah. By the way, Robert Hunt has a brother, Mike, and you should leave him alone. He's right. Not a player. I think Robert Hunt's got a really good chance. Listen, Robert Hunt might be the first guy that starts of all those guys. Well, don't be surprised if Robert Hunt from that small school outside of the Power Five isn't the first starter on that line in September, if the season starts on time, that he's not the first guy.
Must keep Josh Rosen. Tua's going to get injured. Guaranteed. This guy's guaranteeing an injury for Tua. Can't be much of a Dolphin fan if you're guaranteeing an injury for our number five pick overall.
Everybody's worried about that, obviously. Yeah. Every time he drops back, that's going to be... You know, when everybody talks about your biggest concern is not your skill level, but the injury bug, you don't get that very often. This is kind of a new thing for a guy coming out of college.
Right. Someone said, I totally agree with Florio on the Rosen front. Keep the cheap young possible back unless someone gives you what you spent for in perfect position. I agree with it also because obviously we're living in a weird world right now, but I'd keep Josh Rosen for the contract and because of the fact that what happens with something with the virus? You know what I mean? Like if you have an extra roster spot, you can keep Josh Rosen on it. I'd keep him there anyway.
So this would be the thing that I keep talking about. How's Josh Rosen going to handle? He went from one of the top picks in the draft just a couple years ago, and now he is the third-string quarterback. Like when conversations taking place, it's Fitzpatrick and Tua. How does his ego out of UCLA, how does he handle it? And if he can't handle it and he checks out on you, coach can let him go. I mean, he'll trade him, not going to cut him. Or does he come in? I don't know what kind of – I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's gonna say, hey, man, I'm all in. I'm going to show you guys. I just want to be, you know, I'll be the third-string quarterback basically. Because even if the coach says, hey, guys, I just want to let all you guys know, my name's Chan Gailey, I'm your new offense coordinator. The job's open. Coach is going to tell you guys it's wide open. And Rosen goes, right. Yeah. Right.
Right. That'd actually be very funny. South Florida Racquetball Club on Ravenswood Road had a bar upstairs with hot women. Joe's absolutely correct.
I don't make that stuff up. I was a complete...
I didn't think you did, right.
I was a little piggish back then. Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was... They had those workouts. You had to play racquetball, though, where those women had... What was that stuff they were doing back then? And they had us doing it. They had us 1 year off season. They go, hey, we've hired this woman. She's going to do this. They play like music and have you moving around.
Or something, right? Like jazzercise.
And I was like, oh, my God, except for our instructor was smoking hot. I was like, this is hard. This sucks. It sucks doing this.
Many years ago in college football, the Aloha Bowl allowed the team trailing by a certain amount of points of receiving the ball again right after they just scored. They helped keep the score close. They could do something like that. Is that true?
I don't know, Zach, but Mike Florio said what you pretty much said. Like, the league wants, like, tight ball games right to the end.
Of course. Right. They don't want people turning off a game if you're watching one specific game. They don't want that. Keep people watching.
He thinks that vote's going to be close. I think it gets knocked down. I just think there's too many old school coaches that don't want it. Boy, you're going to earn your money as a defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
How are you going to play late in the game? Are you going to loosen up? How many times do we see that prevent defense, and the next thing you know, you go to tighten up, it's too late. They got it rolling. They got their confidence. The quarterback catches fire. Guys are making ridiculous catches, and you can't stop it. And a great example, Cincinnati against Miami at the end of that game. At the end of the game, they're like, all right, oh, God, not again. Oh, no, next thing you know, it's tied up.
Yep. Keep it close, Joe. Keep it close. Let's see. Sport Rooms Plantation was great. I made a lot of money in the bar area there. That's the one I think my dad went to, the Sports Rooms and Plantation. I ended up marrying a waitress in the lounge upstairs.
Wow. Are they saying, I'm confused. Did Tim Foley own Court or Sport? rooms.
I haven't seen courtrooms here. I've seen sportrooms the most. So I think maybe it's called, maybe there was one called courtrooms also. But I specifically remember going to Plantation sportrooms. And that was right there off like Sunrise and University or something like that. It was right by there.
They've taken out a lot of the racquetball courts. That's dead space to those guys when they can have classes and have an instructor in there and she's got 20 people going through her workout, you know, make a hell of a lot more money than you can racquetball for an hour.
Right. Someone said they want to see the Tiger documentary just to see the Perkins servers that Tiger was with.
I can't see. Can you see, like, Tiger's in another relationship right now, looks pretty serious.
Yeah,
I can't see Tiger going, let me see. Oh, yeah, that one. Like, he's never going to. I would like to see another one on Tiger even without all that stuff. Tiger's a pretty serious dude, though, man. When Tiger loosens up, it's not a Peyton Manning, Charles Barkley bust job. Like, I don't know how Tiger takes that stuff. By the way, I think Tiger blew off Charles Barkley, too. I think that relationship for a while went. Didn't go well.
That's not going to be good this weekend.
And Charles going to be out there. Like, Tiger going to be loosened up this weekend. He better be. Because Charles, he knows who the star of that show is.
Someone did text in there was one called the courtrooms in the 70s. But everyone else is saying sportrooms. So there was a place called courtrooms, but the rest of them were sportrooms.
Yeah. I just remember that day when Foley goes, hey, all you guys, he wanted all the Dolphin guys hang out there. He goes, I got racquetball courts and had a party over there for us. Said, hey, I'm going to give you guys a membership. Guys want to work out over there and stuff. And back then we didn't have a workout facility with the Dolphins. We didn't have one. So we worked out over there and then we looked up one day and went, hey man, this ain't bad right here. Look what's upstairs. They got a little bar up there and it's got a lot of those women from those workout clubs are going up there.
Someone asked if you wore the leg warmers and the headbands during the jazzercise classes.
No, I didn't. No. I'm trying to think. One of our teammates, I know who it is. I can't say. He's still happily married to the same woman. But before he was married, he dated the lead girl for that was doing – it was a worse time. It was mandatory, and we had to go over to one of those workout places in Miami Lakes, and she did this class with the music and goes, come on, guys, take it seriously, or I'm going to – you know, the coach, this is – oh, God, really? Yeah, it was hard. That stuff's hard to do, man. You ever done that cardio workout?
My daughter does jazzercise things.
Oh man, they got them now. Yeah. People do them off the TV. I'd really cheat if there wasn't somebody in person. It was just on TV. Right. Hell, I know they can't yell at you.
Right. Joe's been to all the sport rooms and all the courtrooms. That's not very nice.
I spent a lot of time in one courtroom. In Broward County, and that's it. Leave it at that.
I almost was just going to keep going on, but you opened your mouth. That was it. I was going to keep going on. Foley owned the sport rooms. His first one was off the Palmetto and 103rd Street.
That was the one.
Right.
That was hot. That was a smoke show.
Yep. Text Machine is undefeated, Joe. That's what's going to happen here. The Saban documentary could be called The Little Trucker. Helicopter Man. I'm sure he wouldn't like that.
Yeah, he didn't like Helicopter Man. He might like Trucker Man more than Helicopter Man.
Yeah. Right. The John Renshaw documentary could be called Nova, My Cat. Now, here you go. People are getting creative now, Joe. This is what happens.
Oh, man.
Courtrooms was off East Oakland Park Boulevard. It was a gym as well. So you were right about a courtroom or whatever. Not the other courtroom, the actual workout place. And then two people really pissed off that we said to enjoy your weekend and have a, you know, because we're supposed to be paying tribute to those who died, giving the ultimate cost for the country. It's not a party this weekend. Nothing happy
not a
about
party.
It.
All right.
Well, people are upset that we were excited about this weekend.
You can honor people and a lot of family time together and go out and visit family that has passed and that type of stuff. I'm sorry I'm not down on everything. Apologize.
The Racquet Club at Bonaventure.
Yep. Have you ever noticed no matter what we do, we piss somebody off?
Yes.
Have you ever noticed, like, Like, he'll say something sooner or later, I'm going to get that bastard Rose. Right. Like, sooner or later, that jackoff's going to say something that's going to piss me off. Wait a second. Oh, that's not the other stuff I agree with him. But he hit the one, oh, you son of a bitch, Joe.
Right. And I read him. I'm fair to all the texters.
Thanks.
Nick Saban.
What'd you say, happy Memorial Day, and the guy was upset?
Yeah, he pissed. I mean, two people pissed. You bleeping idiot. It's Memorial Day. There's nothing happy about it. Right. Sorry, sir. Yeah.
You're right. We apologize if we've offended anybody, but I don't know if I've ever done a show and not offended somebody. And by the way, not even on purpose.
Right. Just like now. Nick Saban's documentary, The Little Debbie Special.
Yeah,
that's Debbie Cake
good.
Story.
Yeah,
right, that's a good one. Also.
Still likes them.
Someone upset. They don't make gyms like that anymore. Right. There's no more racquetball clubs. That's right. Or at least with none that we know of.
By the way, though, a lot of those workout places people are going to work out, they're still meat markets. They're still meat markets. Right. It's just this one was you went and played your sport. They went and did their workout with that little whatever, jazzercise or whatever it was. And then after, we were good for business, good-looking young moms, and the airline stewardesses were good for business.
Right.
A lot of those girls. Actually, a girl I went to Berkeley used to go to one, and she ended up, she was with Delta, and she ended up back here. And I used to hang out with her a little bit. Never slept with her, to be honest, but just was really, really a nice person that hung around with a little bit.
That's very nice. Good story.
Just wanted to know so you didn't think it was good. It was good in my early 20s. I was an
aerobics.
Idiot.
Someone said aerobics, not jazzercise.
Aerobics,
thing,
that's
right?
What it was. No, I think you're
the same
right.
Same thing?
I don't know, Zach. Hey,
there
Zach.
A difference?
Stay safe this weekend, man. You guys to
you
everybody
too.
Out
Hollywood
there.
Also, right.
Don't say that, Joe. I'm actually offended by that.
Right. Don't
anyway,
stay safe.
Right. Levy and Stu Gotts are coming up next. Have a great weekend. Okay weekend. Average weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.